Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Cinephile, you are listening and watching Big Fred Venice live from the 78th Venice International Film Festival. I am Matt McCucci.
And I am Angelo Acerbi.
We are the officially now the last two reporters of Fred Film Radio, media partner of the festival and all of its sections.
Yeah.
How does that feel? We're so tired.
Oh yeah, God. And
we've talked too much.
We have too many movies to watch, too many people to interview. Just the two of us, it will be like a marathon for the next 2 days.
I want that to be the hashtag. We got to come up with an hashtag for these last few days of the festival. Let's see if our social media manager just left the room. You know,
what was the name of that TV show of people that were going to survive?
Survivor.
Yeah.
So Fred Survivor. We got to come up with an hashtag for these last few days. Federica, our social media manager, we got to think of something. Hashtag, because we're the last two survivors. I mean, we're not.
We need to survive.
Yeah. But there can only be one.
Or none. It depends.
All right. Or, yeah, and there will be none, like the Agatha Christie novel. Anyways.
All right. Plenty of citation today.
Plenty. Okay, I'm so sick of my own voice. Angelo, I want to hear what you have, your thoughts about some of the films that have been screening here, that have been premiering here, and that we can actually talk about. One of them, let's begin with the first one on my list right now, Captain Volkonogov.
Captain Volkonogov Escape.
Would you like me to read out the synopsis so we get over
it? Nice, yeah, thanks a lot.
This is a fast-paced story of pre-death repentance marathon for the captain of the National Security Service, Fedor Volkonogov.
Yes.
Set against the backdrop of 1938 political persecutions in the USSR.
Yeah, this is a great film, a great visual film. A film about moral redemption and repentance, but with a very fast-paced and gorgeous visual. So it's a very deep film, very deep, with a great and gorgeous box around it. Yes. And it's very graphic. It's a little bit violent, but nothing as done just for the sake of it. May everything make sense. It's slightly too long, which at this point of the festival, I don't know if films are too long or I am too tired, I don't know, but anyway.
Good point.
And it's written and directed by a couple.
Yeah.
Where
Natasha Merkulova and Alexei Chupov.
Where Alexei is more on the writing side of it, and Natasha is consulting. But then Natasha, she is the director on set.
Okay.
And Alexei is consulting, and it's not out of stereotypes, but it's the action is so good and so fast, and the editing is great, and the POVs of the cameras are so intense and clever that it has nothing feminine back. You know, even if she's a woman, the film could be an action movie directed by an action movie mogul. So, which is. This not to say the women cannot direct action movies, of course, but it's
Catherine Bigelow
example, but it's less usual, let's say it.
You highlighted the editing, right? Oh, well, that's wonderful, because that gave me a little bit of god bumps, because I'm a film nerd, and I instantly thought of the Russian montage theories of Sergei Eisenstein and Pudovkin.
There's nothing. It's the last Russian film I've seen.
Okay.
Lately.
Right.
So, okay. in any term, besides
that sounds
the
fascinating. I'm looking forward to it.
With a gorgeous and fantastic, very good lead actor.
All right.
The one playing Fyodor is
awesome.
Top notch.
This sounds like a recommendation from Angela Cervi.
Definitely.
Okay, I'll take one now. Yeah. I'm going to be talking about one of the films that I guess is getting the most attention from Venice for obvious reasons. I mean, if people who like Horror films definitely are aware of the Halloween franchise, you know, created by the great, the one and only John Carpenter. I mean, he's amazing. And this is Halloween Kills, which is actually the second chapter in what I like to define the reboot of the saga, because essentially it's a three-part saga. It's a trilogy. The first part was released, I guess, 2 years ago or so, and this is the middle chapter, but I guess it takes place in one night, as far as I understand it. Is that right? Am I right? Yes. I got confirmation.
We have a horror film consultant now, here in the studio.
But what do I think of this film? This is what people want to know. Well, listen.
Beware what you say, you know, because for there you guys watching.
Let me tell you this, folks. I mean, I'm sure that films like these have so many fans that it almost doesn't matter what I thought of this film. So here's what I'm going to say for this daily. I'm not even going to judge this film. It is what it is. It's a sequel to a film that is a reboot of a masterpiece, because the original Halloween is one of the most perfect horror films that I have ever seen, my personal opinion. So nothing is ever going to match it, in my opinion. But
well,
I
don't think they want to match it, actually. They don't want to.
He doesn't, and I appreciate, in fact, the fact that he pays tribute to the original movies, and at the same time, it feels modern. It feels like some of the images that we see in Halloween Kills, directed, of course, by David Gordon Green, are from the news. And in fact, strangely enough, he directed it before all of the, I guess, the pandemic madness and the protests and the riots. But I was, in certain sequences, very much reminded of what happened in the White House a few months ago. It was crazy. It was crazy. So I gotta give David Gordon Green props for that, because there's definitely a vision there that recalls George Romero stuff. But without further ado, obviously I wasn't that impressed. But again, it doesn't matter. It's a lot of fun, and horror fans are gonna.
And then
see some creative deaths. Amazing. If you're into that stuff. I'm not. I don't like
But and then there were Miss.
Oh, you got to talk about that.
You know.
You met her. You talked to her.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis was here in this really very chair.
She's amazing.
She's an amazing woman. She's
presence.
Really funny. And she was so. She was still so. She didn't believe to be here in Venice for our Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's right, she said that.
So we talked about it. It was nice because we could have talked with her for hours. Then we didn't have that much time, but then we talked about some of the key of her key films and key scenes and sequences in her films. But it's weird. I mean, it's weird. It's not weird, but it's peculiar to say that you were talking about the franchise of
Halloween,
and Halloween, I think, is the first horror franchise real, because it started back in the days, and it was the first film to have like sequels that continuously brought on the story. So it was like the father of all franchises.
Yeah, we're talking about franchises actually, like in the age of blockbusters, in the early days. Yeah, for sure. And one of the most influential ones.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But it was, I mean, I haven't seen the film, but talking to her was, to me.
And you know what, maybe the film could have done with a little bit more of Jamie Lee Curtis.
You never know, maybe in the third one.
Yeah, I think so.
She's still different what happened. Yeah. Oh, come on.
and so, it's interesting what you said. I listened to the interview, it was great. And she did say that she was surprised, because this was her first time
ever in Venice. Yeah.
What a great way to start a relationship with the Venice Film Festival by getting a career achievement award.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking about that, and I think that actually she was hugely influential as far as actors in genre movies are concerned.
Oh, yeah.
She broke a lot of ground. You mentioned in that interview, and you were right to do that she did horror, she did action, she did
comedy,
and she's got landmark movies across all of these three genres, which tend to be, the critics tend to snob a little bit.
Yeah,
and they're wrong to do that.
Yeah, normally when you make people afraid, when you make people laugh, you are not doing a great job. Yeah. But it's much more difficult to make people laugh and cry anyway.
And we also remember Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh, who, you know,
for example.
It's a good excuse to remember them. Yeah. They're such legends. Anyways, we
she had a good DNA, let's say it.
Oh, yeah. And she's beautiful.
And she's beautiful.
And anyways, okay. Next up, Freaks Out. This is another film that people were looking forward to.
Oh, we in Italy were looking for that since years.
Gabriele Manetti.
Because it was supposed to be released like slightly less than 2 years ago, and then it was stopped, and they start shooting, and they had to stop, and they start again. So it was like a very painful road for this film, but finally we got it here. The film is Feast for the Eye. Absolutely. He has a huge production value. I think it's one of the most produced Italian films in the last 10 years. And it's a fantastic story mm-hmm. of these four freaks that have to leave the circus, the small circus where they were living, because the owner disappeared. So they have to, and they are in the middle of the, towards the end of the Second World War in Rome. So there were the Nazis, the fascists, there were. So everything is very graphic, very pop, mm-hmm. like the director said, because making Nazism pop was for him the way to take out power and meaning, to show how stupid and basic it was.
Yes.
The only flaw that the film has, in my opinion, and not only on my opinion, is the length.
Yeah.
Because it is too long.
The length seems to be an issue.
Seems to be an issue. But you know, but it depends, because here they could have the same impact, absolutely the same impact, with like 20 minutes less, shorter, because there are scenes that are good but too long. So if you cut here and there, you know, it could have been. But after like 2 years, probably it was. I think it's very difficult for a director when you work so much in a film and you spend so much of your time and effort to be so cold to force yourself to cut stuff. They maybe it took you like a week to shoot.
That's a good point. And so, you rarely hear directors that are absolutely perfectly happy with the final product. They can't even watch it sometimes because maybe there's like one frame that they wanted to take out or they should have left in, and they know about it, and they just can't overlook that.
No, but at the end of the day, Freaks Out is a very good film, very entertaining.
All right. It's got one heck of a cast
exactly, and it's funny and it's clever and he has both money and guts.
Very good. Okay, so
thumbs up.
We almost have to wrap it up, but I'm going to briefly talk about, I'll try to be brief, talk about two films from the Orizzonti section.
Absolutely.
One of them is Vera Dreams of the Sea. It's directed by Katrina Krasnici. It's from Kosovo. It's basically about Vera, a middle-aged sign language interpreter whose husband commits suicide out of nowhere, and she is caught in a dispute to keep his house, which was also her house, but because the husband killed himself, women in certain parts of Kosovo, the film seems to imply, are just not seen as entitled to having anything beyond what is essentially necessary to live. So she can't own a house, especially not in the part where this particular house is. So it deals a lot, it confronts a lot of issues of womanhood and tradition in Kosovo, which I thought was very well done. Communication is very much an important part of this film, also implied by the fact that she's a sign language interpreter. And I'm also excited again, and this is something that I've been saying a lot about the Orizzonti section, to see a film from Kosovo, because we just don't see that many. Very excited also to say that Katrina Krasnici, who I was not familiar with, I think she's quite a unique voice, and it was exciting actually to see that, to see the work of a visionary filmmaker that I was not familiar with. And then very briefly again, from Lithuania, another country that I haven't really seen that much.
Absolutely.
Laurinas Barelsa, Pilgrims. Essentially, it's an investigation by a man and a woman who return to the scene where a person close to them spent the last hours of his life before his tragic and horrific death. And it's beautiful, very intense, very, very immersive experience, even though it is detached stylistically. The director told me that there is a religious, not so much religious, spiritual dimension to it, which I guess is implied by the title. And I found it to be very quiet, but also very profound, and not at all heavy, because it does have moments where you can actually smile. Maybe not laugh like it's a Mel Brooks movie, but smile.
Of course not.
So I like it when films are profound, but also don't take themselves super, super, super seriously. So good. Another gem from the Horizonte section.
Yeah, you're not the first saying that, because I talked with other colleagues and friends.
Yeah.
They saw the film. They were really, really impressed by it.
Yeah, very good. It's very good. And again, we should remind our listeners, we got loads of interviews for you guys to check out. Podcasts or videos on our social media, on our website, fred.fm.
Facebook page, Instagram page.
Yeah, you'll feel like you're actually
here with us. If you're curious
enough,
you could go and check those things out.
I guess this could be it. Is there anything that I'm missing out?
I think there are some. There's another bits and pieces. But
bits
I think
and pieces.
We have to save it for.
We gotta go. We
because
got stuff.
Of course we have to go to do other interviews.
We got other interviews, and we need to be tight on time, because I guess there's a lot of stuff happening in our other studio, but. You guys can check out more live streams tomorrow morning, which is going to be very intense. You're going to be seeing a lot of us too, I guess.
Yeah, only us.
More than yeah. But hopefully you'll enjoy it. And you can also check out the videos on YouTube, and we said all that stuff. So, Angelo, it's been a pleasure. Let's say goodbye to our folks out there watching. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay strong. Most importantly, stay cinephile. And stay tuned to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Wait, let's say that again, because I forgot to say. I'm Matt Micucci.
I am Angela Cherry.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.